Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The Bible says that God gives families to the lonely and releases prisoners from jail singing with joy. Aren't you glad that the Lord did that for you one day? Amen. Maybe some of you will remember this little tune. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played songs that hit the great parade. Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days. Some of you remember that, right? That little tune was from the sitcom called All in the Family. That's the title of my message today, All in the Family. And this situation comedy actually aired on television between 1971 and 1979. It's still going on today. You can still see repeats. It just shows what type of program it was. The show ranked number one in the Nielsen ratings as one of the most watched programs for 5 years in a row. And it dealt with issues in society that most of the other networks were too afraid to handle. The main characters were Archie Bunker, his wife Edith, their daughter Gloria, and his son, he affectionately called Meathead, Michael. And the family was constantly clashing over topics like religion, politics, social issues, and personal issues as well. Yet there remained a common bond between them, that of love, commitment, and loyalty. Off the set, they really loved and they really appreciated each other. They were in love, they were committed to each other, and they were loyal to each other. Now, why am I starting this way? I'm starting this way because I want to let you know that God is a father and he has a family as well. And God's family is comprised of everyone who loves, remains committed and loyal to him and his son, Jesus Christ, and to each other. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3 and 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So God has a family. How many of you are part of that family today? Let me see your hand. I'm going to be discussing several things about that family today that it's critical for us to know. Number one, not everyone is a part of God's family. Now, if you listen to the universalists, they say that we're all God's children and we're all going to heaven. In fact, a recent survey, it stated that 9 out of 10 people believe they're going to heaven. The most frequent reason was because they were living a good life. That was 65% of the people said, "Because I live a good life, I am going to heaven," sure enough. Now, the second reason you may find amusing, but it's interesting. The second reason was having connections with the man at the top. People actually said that. Now, when I was a little boy, one of my aunts before salvation would say to me while she was somewhat tipsy with alcohol, "It's okay, Stevie." And she had a cigarette at the same time. "It's okay, Stevie. I know the man upstairs. I know the man upstairs." And I was just a little boy, and then I just looked back and said, "Oh, but the man upstairs didn't go for that, auntie." I'd never say that, but I was thinking that. You know, 26% of people going to heaven believe they know the man upstairs. They have some connection with God, and that is going to enable them to get into heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. So we're going to talk about critical things to know about being in the family of God. what does the Bible actually say brings us into God's family, makes us one of his children? Well, the Bible says that we must believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to be a part of God's family. In John chapter 1 and 12, it says, all who believe him and accept him, that's Jesus, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, and this rebirth comes from God. And in John 3:3, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot get into the kingdom of God or his family. Now, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we are a part of God's spiritual family. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm a part of the family. And in fact, I should have you repeat that. Now, this is only if you are. Say that. If you are a part of that family, look at someone next to you and say, I'm a part of the family. All right. Well, it's important for us to realize that God's family is comprised of different nationalities, different personalities, religious, political, and social views. Now, there's something else I want you to repeat. And you can even repeat this at home when you're talking to your other family members. Now, repeat after me. Look at someone next to you, and this is what you're going to say. Even when we don't agree, we still remain a family. Come on, now really say that to somebody next to you. Even when we don't agree, we still remain a family. Yeah, see, when you're a member of God's family, sometimes you don't agree. However, there are issues that we need to talk about this morning because they relate to living a Christian life and the fact that everything we do in God's family should be to please him. And we should be obeying his word. So even though we have different views, we have different opinions, we need to please God because this is the most important duty that we have as members of God's family. In fact, in Matthew 6:9, when Jesus introduced God as Father, he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, we honor your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. In fact, Jesus himself said, I always do the things that please him. Every day of our lives, we should check ourselves to make sure that we're only doing the things that please the Father. Now, the family of God is not a democracy. Presently, America is still a democracy. But the family of God is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. That means God rules. Your Father is supreme over your life. In fact, Daniel 4:32 says, the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. If he rules over the kingdoms of the world, shouldn't he rule over your life? That's if he's your Father. In Isaiah 64:8, it says, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are simply the work of your hands. This is something we need to always remember because God gave us choice. We really can do what we want to do, but our lives should be spent pleasing the Father. All that we should do should only be to please him. Now, in an article titled Exploring New Ways of Experiencing God, 71% of the people said, I am more likely to develop my own religious beliefs rather than to accept a set of beliefs that a particular church teaches. 71% of the people said they themselves would like to rewrite the Bible. And they will use the Bible that they rewrite themselves. But saints, if you're going to rewrite the Bible, understand this. You can't be a part of God's family. Because if we fail to adhere to God's family, directives, and moral values found in his word, we will be deceived. And many people will stand on judgment day and discover that they were not a part of the family of God. Now remember the percentage that I said, or the numbers of people who really believe they're going to heaven. 9 out of 10 people. But Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He goes on to say, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. So it's important for us to realize that our duty, being in the family of God, is to please and to obey him. If you're not pleasing God and obeying him, you can't be a part of the family. Number three, we must love God with all of our hearts and put him first in our lives. Now, I can't help what sermons you have heard to make you feel like you can live any way you want to and get into heaven. That is not the case. We have got to enter into the kingdom of God by obeying God's holy book. You can't just make it up and think that you're a part of the family of God. Now, one of the most important things that Jesus said, one of the first commandments and the greatest, was that we have to love God with all of our heart. In Matthew chapter 22:37, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I want to break it down to you because many of us have heard that scripture. But when Jesus says you must love the Lord with all of your heart, he means you must love God emotionally. In other words, sing to the Lord. It means we should clap, show some emotion, raise your hands, even weep before the Lord, kneel before him, lay prostrate in his presence, dance when you have joy in your heart, smile, your face won't crack or break. See, we are to love God with our emotions. Now, this is important because Jesus is very specific. He's saying, love the Lord with all of your heart. Now, I have a question for you. How much is all? How many of you are in love with other people too? Anybody here love other people too? No, just one person. I'm going to get to that part later on. But the whole point Jesus was making here was the fact that you must love God with all of your heart. And you say, well, what about my husband? What about my wife? What about my loved ones? Well, that love then is given back to you through Christ, who will actually flow through your life to love them the way God wants you to love them. See, God wants you to love others the way he wants you to love them and not the way you want to love them. I can assure you the way God loves others, it's more than you want to love them.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
So God says, love me with all of your heart, and I will give you a portion of love, my love, to love everyone else. When he also says, love with all of your soul, it means to love God spiritually. It means to worship him. It means to love him through living a holy life, by living a moral life. It means obedience to his word. I love God with my soul, therefore I am obedient. I walk a holy life. I live by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to please him. That's when I love him with all of my soul. And lastly, love him with all of your mind. Literally, that means to think about him, to continuously think about the Lord, to be conscious of his presence, that he is there with you by the power of his Spirit. Also seeking to know him more. Every one of us should have a desire, if we love him with all of our mind, to know more about him so that we can serve him better. Now, having said all of that, let me share a reality with you. A new survey from the Barna Group indicates that people's most important personal relationship, including Christians, is not with God. Makes you wonder, but let me continue to read. Families surpass their Heavenly Father as the key personal connection. Overall, 7 out of 10 adults mention that family or family members are their most significant connection, not God. See, it's important for us in the family of God to discuss these issues. Because some people who think they're in the family aren't really in the family. Let me give you a verse in the scripture. In Luke chapter 14 and 26, Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, in other words, if you want to be in the family, you must love me more than your own father and mother, more than your wife and your husband, more than your children, more than your brothers and your sisters, yes, more than your own life. Now listen to the next word he says. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be in the family. Now, I want you to listen closely to the Word of God today, because sometimes when you hear scriptures, so many times we fail to get the significance of what God is really saying to us. We must love God more than our family. And love is not just what you say, it's what you do. It's how you behave. It's how you act. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You can say, oh, God, I love you more. But if you put others before God, you don't. You love them more than God. Well, I live such a busy life. I have got to do this and do this and do this. Listen, God knows your schedule. I don't. But I can tell you this. In your heart of hearts, you need to be making time for God more than you do your family. So how is that possible? I don't know how it's possible. I know I'm working on it. But I can tell you this. If you're a member of God's family, you've got to love him more and you've got to show it. You can't live your life with God at your convenience. Convenience has nothing to do with love. Those of you who are really in love, you understand that love is very inconvenient most of the time. Loving God with all your heart means that you put him first. Now listen to the rest of the survey. Just in case you're thinking, well, these are people in the world. Let me get specific. A large majority of born-again Christians struggle to think of God as a living partner in their life. There's an intellectual and even theological assent to the notion that God is real. He's alive. He influences their life. And that they owe their eternal security to him. But when you get these people at ease, rather than being in a religious setting or in a theological context, and explore the relationships that define them and direct their lives, born-again people and the born-again public does not seem to share much intimacy with God. I'm talking about those people who say they're in the family. And yet, I just read what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love others more than me, you are not my disciple. You're not members of the family. We know Jesus said, especially I believe in the times in which we live, that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many shall grow cold. Jesus said himself in Revelation 2 and 4, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. He began by saying the good things they were doing. All their works were good. All the things they were doing was fine. But Jesus said, but you don't love me first. You don't put me first. And then he said, remember from where you have fallen. People, if you say you love God and you love anyone else more than God and show it, then you have fallen. Remember from where you have fallen, repent. That means turn in the other direction. That means change your mode of behavior and do the first works again. Or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Jesus was talking to a whole church. A whole church who were all members of the family of God. Now, the second most important commandment relates to how we should treat each other. In Matthew 22, 37 and 38, I'll begin with loving the Lord with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. But then it goes on to say, this is the first and the greatest commandment. The second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we are God's family, then his love should flow through us for everyone else in the family. Now listen to what it says in 1 John 4 and 12. If we love each other, God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expression through us. What does that mean? That means when you accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and you yield yourself to him in obedience through prayer, studying the Word, then the love of God enters your heart and begins to flow out to other people. And it won't be your love. It won't be your kind of love that is conditional. Your kind of love that keeps count of faults and wrongs. Your kind of love that may judge other people by what they do. But it will be God's love. And this is how we know that we're in the family. It goes on to say in John 13 and 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples, that you are members of my family. Colossians 3 and 14, it says, most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. With God, love is the most important thing that we do as believers after accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Yeah, let's be honest. We need to love each other with the love of God. Not our love, his love flowing through us. The full expression of his love coming down from heaven, being deposited in our hearts and flowing to each other.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. The title of today's message is All in the Family. This is part one. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and perhaps you're going through some difficulties in your life. The Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify my name. Father, I just pray for every person who's going through difficult situations right now, those who are stressed out, those who don't know which way to turn, those who have been asking you for direction. I pray that you would grant your spirit to direct them. You told us to acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you would direct our paths. We're believing that, Lord, for every listener right now. I pray divine guidance, blessing, and encouragement upon their lives. I pray, Lord God, that you will help them to fulfill your purpose and destiny for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.